how big of a fan he is. But right now, as we do each and every week here on the program, it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick. Of course, we know a week ago today, Angel Cabrera bested Kenny Perry and Chad Campbell in a three-man, two-hole sudden-death playoff to win the 73rd edition of the Masters. And Angel Cabrera becoming only the second man ever internationally-born player next to Gary Player to win both the U.S. Open and the Masters in his career. But you might not know this. Angel Cabrera, after his victory, took part in a Masters tradition of eating a champion's dinner with the Augusta National members last Sunday night. Cabrera settled on an irresistible item called the Tiger Woods Cheeseburger. There's a Tiger Woods Cheeseburger on the menu at Augusta National. The burgers are smaller than expected, so a famished Cabrera ate nine of them. Nine, as in one less than 10. And he washed down the burgers with gulps of red wine. Back at the house he was renting at nearly 2 a.m., he took a couple of sips of his favorite midnight drink, Coke, mixed with Fernet Branca, a bitter aromatic spirit brewed from grapes and more than 40 herbs and spices. Pat, your thoughts on the new Masters champion idiosyncrasies with his diet?
Russ, forget that he won the Masters. How's the man alive at this point? At nine cheeseburgers, Coke, and whatever this other drink is at 2 in the morning, and gulps of red wine.
How does he go to bed drinking Coke at 2
literally,
in the morning?
You know, he's 40 years old, so he's not like he's 22 and, you know, back in college able to do this kind of stuff. And I don't think I could have done it back in college, but let alone at age 40, I don't know. He's on some kind of John Daly diet or something here, but amazing that you could eat nine cheeseburgers that late and get somewhat of a good night rest. I know he still had, you know, three days, I guess, till the Masters officially started. But, you know, you do think you want to get into some kind of a routine, you know, the week before.
Well, no,
before.
This was after he won the green jacket.
Oh, this is after?
This
I
is
thought
last
it was
Sunday,
the Sunday
night.
Before.
No.
Okay. No, never mind that. No, still, I mean, you know, you want to be celebratory, but at the same time, that can't be good for
you. Well, here's my take on it, Pat. He gave up smoking last year after he won the U.S. Open, so obviously he needs a vice because he's almost like Samson. He needs his long hair, and for him it was smoking, and he had to give that up, and so he had to get something else. So perhaps drinking caffeinated drinks at 2 in the morning is his fix. Whatever, don't mess with whatever works. The guy is now a two-time major champion. He says his goal now before his career is done is to win five of them, so three more majors for him. And as I mentioned leading into this topic, he is now only the second international player ever to win both the Masters and the U.S. Open in his career. The guy's got probably another 4 or 5 years to get it done, win three more majors. I think he perhaps can do it. I know for sure, at least in my opinion, he will win a British Open before his career is done, because that's the major he had come closest to winning before he broke through at two other spots, the U.S. Open and the Masters.
Well, I mean, the sky's the limit for him, even though he is getting up there in age, because, look at Kenny Perry, the guy that came in second. There are some guys that sort of blossom late, and Cabrera seems to be, you know, that type of guy. But the thing with him, the difference between him and a guy like Vijay Singh or Kenny Perry is Vijay Singh and Kenny Perry have kept themselves in unbelievable shape. Cabrera seems to be, like I said, going down the John Daly route a little, you know, late in life. So physically, I don't know if he's going to be able to hold up if he keeps with this high-protein diet. All righty, Russ, number two goes to you. Jack Nicklaus, 6 Masters title. Arnold Palmer, 4, played a practice round at Augusta National in 1996 with a 20-year-old Tiger Woods and predicted that he would win more green jackets than both of them combined. Jack Nicklaus did. Woods has won 4 times in 9 years, but has now gone 4 years without winning the Masters, the longest drought of his career. Nicklaus won the Masters 3 times in his 5 years and then went 5 years before he won a fourth. He had 5 Masters after his 14th year as a pro. Woods is in his 13th. Woods is still on track to break Nicklaus's record at Augusta, but that prediction of 10 is not looking as good as it once did. My question to you, Russ, how many green jackets will Tiger have won when his career is finished?
Oh, good question, Pat. Now, let's do a little math. I'm going to try to avoid getting too, bogged down in the numbers, but let me give you these numbers. 13 professional seasons for Tiger Woods. He currently has 14 total majors, 4 of those being green jackets. If we project his career out until the age of 46. Of course, we know Jack Nicklaus, his final major that he won, and it was his final PGA Tour victory, was at the age of 46. So if we project Tiger's career out through the age of 46, that means 13 more professional seasons. He's got 13 down already, 13 more until the age of 46. I don't think he's going to continue winning at the incredible pace that he has up until this point. I think he might slow down just a bit as he gets a little bit older, especially into his 40s. So 14 majors already for Tiger in 13 seasons. Let's say maybe 10 more majors for Tiger over the next 13 seasons. That gives him 24 total majors. If we look at those 10 majors we're projecting him to win over the next 13 years, let's just cut him in four. Let's just say 2.5 on average of each of the four majors, U.S. Open, Masters, British, and the PGA Championship. And I'm going to give him a little bit of nod in the direction of the Masters, so making that 2.5, 3 for green jackets. So I'm going to say 7. I'm going to say he bests Jack Nicklaus by 1 and ends up winning 7 Masters green jackets when it's all said and done. Was that too many numbers for you, or do you follow that?
Yeah, you lost me about when you said 2.5. So I'm going to agree, though, that I think he gets 6. And then the seventh one is going to be kind of like Nicklaus did. Nicklaus went a long time between the fifth green jacket and the sixth. I think he went 9 years or something like that. So I think Tiger gets that seventh one sort of later in his career, like Nicklaus, more in a, you know, as a 44, 45-year-old. I think he'll get two more in the next 5 or 6 years, and then it'll be the drought, and it'll be one of those sentimental things, like when he's in his mid-40s and get one then. So I'm agreeing with you. I think he ends up with 6 or 7.
Nice. All right, Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. We are entrenched in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here on the program, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and is brought to you, as always, by our good friends at PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number 3, Patrick. The Memorial, of course, Jack Nicklaus' tournament, his baby in Dublin, Ohio. We know that he's also associated with the Honda Classic, but he is the official host of the Memorial Tournament every summer in Dublin, Ohio at Muirfield. And the Memorial Tournament is deciding specifically to bring back his double skins game for the first time in 6 years to replace the Wednesday Pro-Am. The double skins game is a 9-hole competition among 2 sets of 4 PGA Tour players. The 8 players are chosen, top 6 available from last year's money list, and 2 wildcard players. One of those will be Jack himself. The purse is $100,000, $50,000 for each foursome. Half of the money goes to charity. Players will wear microphones so fans can listen to the banter in each group. Among those expected to play include defending champion Kenny Perry and 3-time major winner Padraig Harrington. Also likely to play is Tiger Woods, who has only missed the Memorial when he was recovering from knee surgery last season. And I'm curious, Pat, your thoughts, Jack, eschewing the Pro-Am, going with this skins game with only 8 players.
Well, I don't have a big problem with it. I'm not a big Pro-Am fan. I mean, unless I'm playing in one of them. And even then, it's usually a 6-hour round. So a lot of them aren't a lot of fun. You do get to interact. And if you get a good pro, they can be, you know, very interesting and fun. But for the most part, I'm not a big Pro-Am fan. So this is something different. You know, it's one of those sort of forced feel-good type things, which, again, I'm generally against skins games because of that. You have that forced banter that you mentioned where, you know, guys who are really tooth and nail competing against each other are trying to act like they're friendly with each other, which, you know, let's not be false. If you don't like a guy or you're going to be trying to beat him the next day or over the next 4 days, it's hard to try to, you know, conjure up feelings like, hey, you know, good putt there, Jim, and all that. But on the grand scheme of things, I think it's fine. It's something different than the run-of-the-mill Pro-Am. So I give Jack credit for that. And plus the fact that he's going to be playing in it, I think adds some interest in it because he doesn't play anymore. So anything you get Jack to play in, I think is a good thing. And you'd like to see Kenny Perry in it. And if Tiger plays in it, I think that'll just add to it. But I'm not expecting, you know, hey, ESPN might cover it or somebody might cover it. But I don't think it's going to be anything off the charts exciting.
Okay, I will say one thing. I give Jack credit for thinking outside the box and changing things up. And I do think this. And most pro-ams on the PGA Tour, day in, day out, they are not material that the networks will use in their weekend coverage. But I think we're going to see highlights of this Wednesday pro-am deal, which is really a skins game with eight, you know, star players. I mean, you're talking about huge names, Kenny Perry, Patrick Harrington, Tiger Woods, and Jack Nicklaus himself. So this will get some coverage over the weekend on the network. And I believe CBS is actually the network that covers the Memorial. Jim Nance and Nick Faldo will be there. So we'll probably see some clips of this during the Saturday, or probably more likely Saturday, on CBS. And you usually will not see any coverage of the Wednesday Pro-Am during the weekend on the network. So I give kudos to Jack for that.
All right, Russ, number four going to you. Harken back a couple of years ago, U.S. Open at Oakmont 2007. Tiger Woods makes a sort of offhand comment that, the average 10 handicapper would not be able to break 100 at a U.S. Open course. Well, Golf Digest takes that to heart and starts the Golf Digest U.S. Open Challenge, last year being the first year, where they just bring an average Joe to play with three celebrities and see if all of them basically can break 100. And last year we had Matt Lauer, Justin Timberlake. Who was the other guy?
Tony Romo,
that's right.
He shot an 84.
He actually played pretty well. Well, this year, Beth Page, site of the U.S. Open 2009, Golf Digest has announced their celebrities for this event. You got Justin Timberlake back again, Michael Jordan, who I think is a real good pickup, and then Big Ben Roethlisberger from the Super Bowl champ, Pittsburgh Steelers, and as a yet-to-be-named guy they're going to pick to round out that.
A lucky winning amateur.
A lucky winning amateur is right. So my question to you, Russ, what are your thoughts on these celebrities that they picked for this Golf Digest?
Well, I love the Michael Jordan pick, and we've known about Michael Jordan for a couple of months now. It was Michael Jordan and then two other celebs to be named later. So that's huge. I mean, he's got a bigger Q rating than any celebrity you can get. So basically, Michael Jordan is as big as it gets when you're talking about celebrity golfers. So that's awesome. My only question is, why are you retreading Justin Timberlake? I mean, there's so many celebrity golfers out there. Why do we again have to have Justin Timberlake in it again for a second straight year? Kevin James, Ray Romano, Jack Wagner, Jerry Rice, Kenny G, who we're going to have on later on the show today, Mark Wahlberg, Andy Garcia, Jerome Bettis. I mean, there's a bevy of names you could have gone with. Why do we have to repeat a name with Justin Timberlake here for a second straight year? That tells me that he has got some huge pull with the PGA Tour. I mean, obviously, he's hosting an event in Las Vegas, and he gets to do this a second straight year. Now, here's the thing. I wouldn't have as big a problem with it, him playing again, if he had missed it last year, and it's almost like he's coming back again to try to break 100 again. But he broke 100 last year at Torrey Pines. He shot 99. So it's kind of questionable to me. Why are they retreading Justin Timberlake a second straight year? I love Ben Roethlisberger. I love the pick there. I think he's going to be phenomenal. I'm sure you, Pat, as a Steeler, near and dear to your heart, the Steelers are, so I'm sure you're excited to have Big Ben playing at Oakmont or at Bethpage in a couple of months.
Man, you've really broken this down, Russ. I guess I agree with you now. I don't know why. I was like, okay, with Timberlake, but now that I hear your logic, I'm like, why are they bringing him back? The only thing I will say is, obviously, Jordan's an icon around the world. So anytime you bring him in, I think it's going to add to the level of intrigue. Big Ben, I think, is a good pick. But the only thing I would say is, why not try and pick celebrities either from the sports world or the entertainment world that have some kind of connection to that venue? In other words, it's New York. So bring in somebody, like maybe Mark Messier or somebody, that plays golf and might have an attraction.
I like that idea. That's a great idea.
So, like, Big Ben would have been great at Oakmont a couple of years ago if they were doing this then. But I don't think it's a big deal now, but maybe what they should do if they're going to keep doing this is bring celebrities, both sports-related and non-sports-related, from that market, particularly attached to that market, and have them play in the event, because I think it'll just draw more fans. And then if you can get the guy or the woman that you're going to pick, the lucky person, they should probably be from that market too, so they'll bring their whole family and friends and everybody out to see him. But, I mean, that's just something down the road. But I have no problem, basically, now, except with Timberlake, now that you brought that logic up, that they should go with somebody different. Why is he going to keep getting a chance to play in this thing?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. No, but I like your logic, Pat. I think you make a lot of sense. One of the celebrities, I think, each year moving forward should be geographically connected to that venue. So next year, move it forward, 2010 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. We should have a California celebrity, sure, as one of the three, perhaps Jack Wagner or maybe Jerry Rice, or Mark Wahlberg. Obviously, they're Hollywood guys, actors, so any actor would probably do, or maybe an athlete who played in California during his career. I will say this, one more thing. Perhaps for next year or maybe 2011, I am hooked with this Charles Barkley reality television show with Hank Haney, the Hank Haney Project. And God willing, hoping that Charles perfects his game and gets that swing in working shape. And let's give Charles a goal. Let's say, Charles, if you over the next year and you're putting in your scores and you have a USGA handicap of 10 or better, you get a spot in next year's foursome at Pebble Beach. Or if he doesn't get his handicap below 10 by then, maybe in 2011. Because Charles Barkley, he's a huge, huge personality. He would be great for this challenge, but we realize his game right now is nowhere near where it needs to be to break 100 on a U.S. Open venue, especially Bethpage. I mean, I think we both agree, Pat, Bethpage is probably a good 8 or 10 strokes harder than Torrey Pines was for these guys last year.
Well, that's why when you get to 2011 or 2012, whenever they bring it to Marion in Philadelphia, it's a shorter course, and it's Philadelphia.
Barkley, Charles played for the Sixers.
That would be a good goal for him. That gives him a couple years to work on it. And it's not that tough of a course, you know, not that long of a course. It's
why didn't they consult us before this stuff?
Yes.
They need Colin, get the USGA in the line. Get the guys from Golf Digest on the line. Jeff Russell, we need to call him up.
We will solve all their problems.
We need to be in charge of making all these rules. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. There is no doubt that was another award-winning edition. That was a Blue Ribbon Gold Star award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Going to take a quick break. Speaking of celebrity golfers, Bill Murray.